Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. I have eternal life. Amen. I am not going to have eternal life. I have eternal life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let me start off by saying that the reason why, this series is foundational to the Christian faith. What that means is that if you are in Christ, this is one of the first few things you are expected to learn and to master. Now, the reason why a lot of people are not really, especially young folks now, they are not really aware of this doctrine, or they've not really been taught, is because the way many of us came to Christ, we came in through the back door. It was problems that brought us. All right, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the way you come in sometimes can require you to go through a crash course. We just want to save you first. All right? But after that initial moment, you are supposed to now go through the process of teaching and indoctrination, if you like. All right? So that's what this is. And like I was sharing with us last week, the Lord was, you know, speaking to me and laying it upon my heart that if we understand this teaching of eternal life, it will solve primarily most of our prayer points, our prayer problems. It's going to solve it. Now, the Lord does not give us, a standard way of operation without a backup system. It's just like when you walk at the bank, or maybe in your office, you have a primary network service, you know, internet service, ISP, service provider. But sometimes your service provider may decide to take a break. It may be at a very critical time. So most companies have backup systems. They have backup service providers. So they use probably one or two different service providers. And when both of them are down, you can shut down your system, go and have breakfast, lunch, dinner, till your network is back. All right? So the subject of deliverance is primary, and it is also very important in Christianity. Some people need deliverance. Say amen.
Amen.
Some people need deliverance. Jesus said it, you can't be more righteous than Jesus. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to deliver the captives. You can't be more righteous. You can't have a greater ministry than the one Jesus had. I hear some of our folks today when they preach, and you are wondering if it's the same Bible, because they look more interesting than Jesus. A lot of our preachers today sound more interesting, but Jesus is just who he is. So you can't have a calling that is so superb. You can't have a doctrine that is more superb than the one Jesus had. So even when I read Paul and I read Peter, I have to pass it through the lens of Jesus for accuracy. Are you with me so far? So such is the doctrine of eternal life. It's very foundational, it's very important, and you need to give attention to it for your own sake. In John chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. John chapter 10, I'll read from verse 9 and 10. The word of God says, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. When you read a scripture like this, Jesus seems to establish a note of finality, that this is the only approved door. Jesus didn't tell us, You can belong to another religion because they both have the same father, Abraham, as their forefather. Three religions in this world claim Abraham. And it's amazing. So the question is, if Abraham was on earth today, who will he go with? Isn't it? I think it's a great idea that God allowed Abraham to die. So he doesn't have to choose. Because Abraham introduced faith to us, not the law. All right? So the law was our schoolmaster until faith was introduced. All right. Maybe after this series, we'll now talk about the law and the law and grace. You need to know all these things. They are very strong foundations. They are very boring, but if you get them, you are good to go. You can't go into a meeting after that teaching and somebody tells you, oh, you have a spiritual husband. You ask which one? I don't understand. What do you mean by spiritual husband? How many children has she given birth to? You know, this is her reality, so. You know, but I'm just saying, there's a level of revelation you are going to break into. It becomes absolutely impossible for God to lie. Say, by two immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. Which means if we now go into those two things, we now have to say, what are these two things? Huh? And then you now realize that if these two things are not in place, it's possible for God to say something to you, and it seems as though God has lied. All right. Are you with me so far?
Yes, sir.
So please, let's look at this scripture again. In the Amplified Version, it said, I am the door. Anyone who enters through me will be saved and live forever, and will go in and out freely and find pasture. And in that little box there, you have spiritual what? Security. Which means, as it pertains to the matter of your destiny, go to verse 10. As it pertains to the matter of your destiny, you are going to be eternally secured. You are not going to live in the fear of, oh, if I die now, will I go to heaven? Will I? Am I sure? Oh, but I told the lie yesterday. The thing with being in Christ is that it does not even give you the leverage to lie without considering the fact that you have lied. It's amazing. It's amazing. Like you just lie though, and there will be a quiet voice. Liar. Has it ever happened to you? Like, but you know that is not really true. You know. So we have to learn Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus has given us a note of finality. And I do encourage you, when you read the scriptures, take some moment during the week. Make it your habit to read through the words of Jesus. Read through the words of Jesus. They will help you so much. And please do yourself a favor and don't place Jesus beside any prophet that is dead. For you to qualify to talk about Jesus, you must have died and risen. Are we together? You must have been in the ground for like 3 days and come back with signs to qualify to claim anything. If not, just be quiet and learn Christ. Because we have a lot of people who are dead, and we know where their tombstones are. We know people who say they are not even sure where they are going to, and they still manage to get over 1 billion people to follow them. Eh? We have people who are still reincarnating. They are still reincarnating, and people are still following them. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. There's no way around it. Civilizations come, AI technology, genetic markers, all the, I am the way. I am the door. If you are talking about eternity, I am the door. I'm the door. That's a bold I am statement. I am. You don't make claim to I am if you are not God. Say, I am the door. Say, no man comes to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. The problem is that many times we are looking for accessories, additional things, and God says, no. I am. When Moses asked him, he said, "Who shall I say has sent me?" He said, "I am." "Sorry, sir, is that a name?" He said, "Yes, I am. I am. I am. I am capable. I am. I know you have a bad record, but I can send you back to that place where you failed and make you a prophet there. I am." "Yeah. In the same place where you did an abortion, I will make you a lifesaver there. I am. The same place you ran away from because you killed a man, I will make you a reference point because I am. I can do it. I'm capable." Yes. Say, "For the thief cometh." Now, it's amazing that the moment Jesus began to talk about the being the door, the next thing that was introduced was a thief. And it's always beautiful when you read the scripture in context. Please say context. When you read it in context, you understand the story. The moment Jesus said he is the door to eternal security, he then introduces to us a thief. This thief is a personality. And he said, "Look, there is a thief that comes only in order to what? To steal." And the question is, what is he interested in? What do you have that makes him so particular about you? He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, what is the threefold strategy of Satan? To steal, to kill. So when Satan wants to destroy you, if he wants to enjoy it, he starts by coming into your space and stealing from you. He won't come. The moment he comes to destroy you, you will probably be the one wishing for death, because he would have invaded you the way he invaded Job, taking away your children. Everything you know and believe about God will stop working. All your faith, your praises, your fastings, all of a sudden nothing is adding up. He will steal your joy. He will steal your convictions. He will let you know all those thing about faith and eternal life is in your head. It's not real. Jesus said, "I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it what? Till it overflows." Hallelujah. Which means that when I come to Christ, I am introduced into life. I am introduced into life. And I told you that it's not really eternal life, it's life. The eternal only qualifies the quality of that life, which means this is a God kind of life, not goat life, not human life. So yes, you can say eternal life, but you need to understand that this is life. It's not just a kind of life, it is life. So when you really want to define life, you have to benchmark it against the highest quality. Come on now. You benchmark something by the highest quality. So this is the highest quality of life, and it is eternal. It's beyond everlasting. Because even demons live forever. So it's not about being everlasting. It's about the quality. There are certain functionalities that are captured within that kind of life. And the functionality, that kind of functionality opens you to certain civilizations. There are certain things that you become capable of being and doing by reason of the kind of life that is that you have in you. And that's why I said this thing is foundational. It's foundational. If you don't get it, you might be struggling in class. He said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." In verse 11, Jesus introduces us to the first step of that life, and he says, "I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Who did he give the life for? Who did he give the life to? He gave it for that it might be transferred to. Are you with me? He gave it for them that it might be theirs. So the glory that I once had with you, I now give to them, that they may be one as we are one. Please, are you with me? This is so foundational. You have to get it. You have to get it. Don't be overwhelmed by your problems. This life comes with a kind of wisdom that has the capacity to understand everything. Regardless, there's nothing like, oh, because you are 40 years old, you cannot learn certain things anymore. No, this kind of life believes all things, overcomes all things. So if you want to go back to school, you can still go back to school, because that life is an A life. It's an A star life. It's an A star. You don't do B, we do A's. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You guys are not excited. Is the problem with the life, or is it I just like your life the way you already know it? Huh? Now I want you to imagine something. If you had been born from the day you were born and from children's church, what they have been teaching you is eternal life. Like this. That's what you've been learning. Huh? That's what you've been learning. Do you think you will be at the same level with a pastor? You've been learning eternal life since age 5. And you've been told that eternal life is at work in you, and that is your primary life. Do you think you will be at the same level with a pastor who just crossed the street and became a pastor? Crossed the street from that side and jumped into Mende and became a pastor at Harvest World. Do you think that because he is a pastor, it bestows on him certain levels of functionality outside natural development? Do you think so? No. You may be the pastor, but in terms of life, I could have developed more than you. Can you be more anointed? Yes. But you see, there's something about the anointing. The anointing is given for certain functionalities. In other words, when the Lord needs to do something, he wants to bless his people, he anoints men. He anoints your pastors or ministers, and they are able to administer the anointing. God administers it through them. All right? But in terms of life, there is a level you can develop and grow into life that people cannot even tell if you have been anointed or not. Because you are simply functioning after the order of your life. So I dare say to you that when a person becomes a Christian, eternal life now becomes his primary life, not secondary. Are you with me? I said what? Eternal life now becomes his primary life. Now, if you don't know this, you will still be trying to overcome sin in your strength. Are you here? I'm one of those who believe that many people are, especially married women, they are very holy, but it's not because they like holiness. It's because nature will not forgive them if they commit adultery. Eh? Okay, now. Those who know understand. Eh? I say nature will not forgive them. Because anywhere you take the matter to, they'll say, no. It cannot happen. Like somebody said to me, in our area, I don't know, maybe she's from Isha or somewhere. Say, there's a sacrifice you must do. If you commit adultery, that you must do it, whether you are a Christian or not, you must do it. If not, there's going to be a curse. Have you heard such things before? You people are looking at me like I'm not in this country. Do you know how, even though you say you are a Christian, but somewhere you believe that thing? Come on now. They've told you and they've mentioned that thing. You've heard them say it in your family house from when you were so young, that in this house, women do not commit adultery. And that if they do it, either she's going to run mad, or the husband might even die How can a woman commit a sin and it's somebody else that is dying? Like, how do you guys even come around this decision? Be like, oh my God. So if the woman wants to really punish you, all she has to do is go outside and do something, and then the husband just starts to cough and he coughs blood and dies. So, but this is the thing. You don't actually know what you believe until that thing becomes a subconscious knowledge. That thing is somewhere in your subconscious mind. And even though you say you're a Christian, in your mind, that thing is there. Oh, when you are pregnant, before you put to bed, there's a particular meal we have to cook for you. Have you heard those things before? The people who are reminding you of those things, your family, do they go to church? Most of them go to church. So some of them are elders. But they've not learned eternal life. They learned deliverance. They learned church programs. They learned many things, but they didn't learn eternal. Eternal life is the first thing you must learn. Because you cannot even master the gifts of the Spirit without eternal life. Eternal life is like the software in your system. I went to a computer center a few days ago. We need to print a particular document for the embassy or something. Don't worry, it's not me. It's not me. Sorry, but... And there's not... And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, all of you are actually planning too. So, all right, just a joke. The document from that they asked us to print was the mail from the guys there. The system that we were trying to print from at the computer center could not open it. And I saw the woman struggling and complaining about why initially the complaint was, oh, the mail is not coming in. Finally, the mail came in. Okay, print the attachment. The moment she double-clicks the PDF file, you get all kinds of Java error, JavaScript, and other things in tongues, which we could not decipher because none of us were computer gurus. And the woman kept complaining. At some point, I had to tell the woman, please, madam, please, please. You see, this is your system. What Windows do you have on it? Is it making sense now? She has Windows 7. Please, what is the current Windows? 11. Do we have 8? Do we have 9? No, we have 10. 11. So we have 3 generations after. Even that laptop, the way that laptop looks, you cannot... I don't know any modern application that will run successfully on it. It's not just about the way the laptop looks. It's about the fact that something is telling me here that if you're about to make progress in your life and you are presented with this laptop, Satan will not need to come against you. That laptop will do the job. So what God has installed in your system is 11. But you love your 7 so much. Then you are wondering why, but pastor, we did deliverance. Sir, we need to change this thing. You cannot run eternal life on Windows 7. And that's why the scripture instructs us that we must change the way we think. If you struggle with it and say, oh, it's because pastor doesn't understand what is going on in my life, you will continue to struggle. You will be right in your own eyes, but you will not know why others are making spiritual progress. Listen to me. God does not want you to continue to fight the battles you are fighting now, 5 years from now. This issue of foundational problem in your family, God wants to deal with it. But the only way to sustain your miracle is to live in an alkaline environment, if you understand what I'm saying now. All right. Pastor Tokwe is not going to say one word right now. Well, I heard one guru say to me, that no disease can survive in an alkaline environment. So, but the question is, why are we not all drinking alkaline water? My brother called me from Abuja and said, you know, he was talking to me, Yoruba. I said, oh, King Boron. You don't know that. He said, well, sir, I'm tired. I'm a bit down. He said, Dad, you see, I told you to go and be buying alkaline water. I said, do you know how many things we buy in Lagos? If I add alkaline water to the things I have to buy, I won't even have money to buy a charge card to call you. My brother just got so fed up with me, like, see, I have a contact. She lives at Ikorodu. Why? All of them live at Ikorodu, live at Tegbeda. Why can't they live in VI and Maryland and Ikeja? And it is, one small keg is 15,000. Alkaline water. I pray on this one, this well water, in Jesus' name. Please, let this water be enough for me. Ah, alkaline water. Please, if you can afford it, drink it too. This is not a message against alkaline water. I'm just trying to tell you that every time God wants to correct an error, and every time scientists or tech guys want to correct an error, they don't just sit with that program, they write another one. And it up till now, God's remedy for curses, God's remedy for your freedom, God's remedy for spiritual growth and development has not changed his divine life. If many of us put in the effort to know this life and its functionality, oh, give yourself 2 years. Give yourself 3 years. Oh, you will amaze yourself. Like I shared with us last Sunday, God looked at the world and saw that the world was in a state of mess. And the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Which means if you choose not to believe in him, you will what? You will perish. That's what God said. Alright? God looked at the whole problem of the world and he just realized that the solution is in his son. So why do we overcomplicate things? I was listening to a particular trainer, you know, online. I was taking a training. And the guy just said, oh, if you're really struggling with this concept, you know, I've listened to all your messages and got your emails. And, you know, I just really narrowed down the whole problem to just one thing. The reason why you guys are not getting this thing, one reason. Say, do you know what that is? You guys overcomplicate this thing. So if somebody says, the reason why I really don't understand something is that I'm overthinking it, then let me settle down and listen to what he's about to say. John 3:16 holds the key to eternal life. When God delivered us from Satan and from the power of the evil one, he decided that the only way to keep what he has given is for him to introduce an element into our being. That element is what causes every other functionality to work optimally. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, holiness, revelation in the Word of God, the ability to pray, the ability to love God. Because the issue about loving God, some people still don't get it. They don't know that the ability to love God stems from a desire that the Holy Spirit is actually giving you. Because even if you lie to yourself and say, I love God, I love God, I love God, I love God, how long can you keep lying to yourself? The Holy Spirit must be working in you both to will and to do. He works in you. You think you are the one choosing to love him, but he's the one working in you. And every time you think God is not faithful, he does something. You just wake up one morning and you just sense that love. You are having friendship with your Christian brother or Christian star, and you just feel that, wow, you know, there's just this revelation, there's this knowledge that comes to you. There's this koinonia, this fellowship that you feel like, wow, it's like a different atmosphere, a different town hall. You are just having this experience that is just different. Have you ever prayed to the point and you experienced something called the gusher? You started enjoying prayer. You prayed for like an hour, 2 hours. Something just happened. Poof! Like you touched something. And then you started praying without effort. You traveled in that transport system for like 15, 20 minutes and you came out refreshed, not tired. Those are workings of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know this, you will not understand why you can be praying for 2 hours and she can be praying for 2 hours. You will come out fighting demons. She will come out anointed. Eternal life is the key. Eternal life is the key. Eternal life is in your spirit. Eternal life is the key. Eternal life. Look, let me read Colossians 2, I believe. And I want you to see, because sometimes, you know, you read the scriptures, you just realize that this thing is actually more powerful than we think it is. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 16. Colossians 2, from verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and in and this uncircumcision of your flesh are he quickened together. The word quickened there is what? Made alive. What does that word quickened mean? To make alive. That means that thing was previously dead. The guy that is dead here has a PhD. The guy that is dead here is going to see his girlfriend tomorrow. The guy that is dead here is planning on doing something crazy tomorrow. This guy is roaming the street, but spiritually, he has a death certificate. Spiritually, he's dead. So we need to bring him up. We need to bring this system up and running. This guy is disconnected from the main server. He at it quickened with together with him, having forgiven you your trespasses. So what did God do to initiate the resurrection process? He forgave you all your sins and your trespasses. You cannot talk about divine life without addressing the issue of sin. And the issue of sin has been resolved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The issue of sin has been resolved. Christ has died once. There will be no other death. That's why the scriptures say if you sin willfully, you have crucified Christ again the second time. Because he's only supposed to die once. But in your hands, he has died like 15 times this month alone. So you'll be arrested for this. You'll be arrested for this. Give me that scripture. Next verse. By blotting out what? The handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. You see, these ordinances were contrary to our nature, but they were hanging over our head. What do you mean by ordinances? These are laws. These are statutes. These are things that have been written, documented, and approved against us. He said these things were handwriting. Somebody took his time to prepare a document against you by reason of being a son of Adam and Eve. By reason of being a human being, there is a document against your lineage. You didn't need to commit a sin for that one. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. That means that which was written was something, it's like an accusation. And somebody is in the court and is asking the judge to rule in their favor that you are condemned. He said this was contrary to us and Jesus took it out of the way. So where was this ordinance standing? It was standing in the way. Every time I try to make some progress with God, something is standing in the way. You can't break beyond a level. You try Hare Krishna, you don't get forward. You go to Buddhism, you're still struggling. You go to this other one, where it's, you do that for 10 hours every day, you are still not making progress. Then you go to your traditional religion, and then you try so hard. They give you all kind of stuff. They mark your body, initiate you. You even decide to join the Freemasons. At the end of the day, there is something standing between you and God's purpose for your life, which cannot be removed by a man. That's why when you sin against God and you say God understands, it's because you don't know this life. This is where most people get stuck. They say God understands. Have you seen people that fornicate and they just believe it's what adults do? That's their reason, you know. It's what adults do. Like, you cannot really be in a relationship. Okay, so what is a relationship? What does relationship mean? What does relationship mean? You say you're in a relationship and then you come to church. Why am I wasting my time talking to you? I don't need a best friend. I have a best friend. It's a guy. You are not my best friend. There's a conversation. That's why we are talking. That's why I'm coming to pick you at the office. All this. So the only way to reward the effort both of you are making is fornication. Yes or yes? It's true. You see, if Satan traps you there, it's called adulting. It's because you don't understand this one. So you continue to pray and fast. But you see, there's an ordinance against you, which your sin is ratifying. Do you understand what I mean by ratifying? You are confirming that this ordinance that was put there before your father was born is supposed to be there. Adulting is translated living in sin. Adulting is what? Defined as what? Living in sin. And the reason why you are living in sin is because you don't know. I'm not talking about the one who made a mistake. I'm talking about the one who feels it is what adults do. Give me that scripture. Blotting out every ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way. Hey, he took the ordinance. The ordinance is usually like a document. In the Roman Empire, it would be like a paper, like a scroll. So it will be pasted on your door or somewhere around your vicinity saying, this is what the Roman government is saying about you. So Jesus took that document. So when you saw him on the cross crying in the spiritual realm, what was he doing? For every single person. And he didn't die until he was done. But if you are somebody who only sees after two eyes, you will see a man on the cross crying. Come on, are you with me? You will see a man crying. But in the spiritual realm, God ensured every document. 1 to whatever number was nailed. So when he said it is finished, it's because it was truly finished. No curse should have power over you again. But you see, give me that scripture. The Bible said he nailed it to the cross. Give me verse 15. Quickly. And having spoiled what? And power. Excuse me. How did he spoil principalities and powers? When he nailed that thing to the cross, then he went after every spirit that was assigned to effect the cause, to make sure that the bailiffs, the sheriffs, the police officers, the prison warders and the prison officers, everyone that would have been assigned to effect that ordinance that was written against you, that was approved against you by reason of Adam's sin, God went after them and gave them quick notice. I say gave them quick notice. He gave them quick notice. Do you understand how powerful this is? That when a man comes to Christ, he is taken primarily out of his natural family and grafted into the family of God. Which means that if your natural family is cursed, you can place a demand on your spiritual family and say, please remove this thing. Say, remove this thing. Remove this thing. It's not mine anymore. You can be living under a family name and you are not living like them. Because you have two lives that are resident in your body. You have the spiritual life, which is Zoe. That one has no limiter. That one operates on Windows 11 functionality. You have the natural life, which is Windows 7, which means that you can switch in between both windows, even though you're on the same system. Yes or yes? Different passwords. You can switch. You can switch. You can switch. Listen to me. The only reason why many will struggle with this thing is because all their life, from the very first day they were born, what they were taught was the human life. That's why we tell people, open your eyes. Come to the school of the Spirit. Don't you know that in His words are what? The keys to eternal life. When you get a little here and you get a little there, then the day will dawn in your heart. Because He's changing everything. He's changing everything. In obedience to Christ. In obedience to what Christ has already done. If Christ has to die again now, oh no, that is so unfortunate. You have two softwares in your system. The goal here is to begin to train and develop the spiritual life, the eternal life in you, to become so strong and mature to the point that it can control the human life. He said, having spoiled principalities and powers, He made an open show. What does the Amplified say? This looks like He disgraced them. Give me that scripture. And when He had disarmed the rulers, do you know what that means? He told them to line up. Where is your AK-47? Bring it here. Then He collected all the daggers, collected all the weapons, everything they had on you. How many of you know that if the Nigerian police force didn't have any weapon, nobody would respect them? You know you are so angry at them, but you can't do anything. If they took away their guns for just a day, there will be vengeance in Nigeria. There will be real vengeance. You know that. Including you, you will fight. Because you've been watching that guy for a long time. He disarmed them. You know what it means to disarm? It's not a polite process. It's like raiding. Jesus raided them. He went to hell as a lamb and rose as a lion. He disarmed them. Say, from today you will be small. Because my children are going to rise. He said you will be small. And He disarmed them. It's like going into the armory of your enemy and looting the place. Jesus looted that place and left them empty. The only way Satan will have power over you is if you are ignorant. The only way Satan will have power over you is if you are not growing in Christ. The only way Satan will have power over you is if you are not aware that you are born as a ruler, as a king, and as a priest. Which means that you can enter into the presence of God and offer sacrifices of praise and raise offerings and altars and worship Him. Then you can step out of the priesthood and enter into the kingship and then decree. God, by me, kings. Kings decree justice. The whole essence of eternal life is dominion. To dominate. You can walk into a city and you will not have to labor like everybody you met there. Yes. Yes. It doesn't matter. If you go to a place like the UK, you may not be aware that one of the principalities in the UK is the spirit of poverty. You may not know. You are looking at the wise king. You need to open your eyes. So if you get there, if you are not careful, the first thing you'll be going for is a credit card. And the poorest among them will still eat. He will eat burger. You can spend £8 every day. But you are poor. But the poor man in the UK believes he's better than the man in Africa. But he has credit card. You only have debit card, which means you can only withdraw what you have. But this guy has a credit card. You go to Canada, the same thing. Go to America, the same thing. So when you rise and pick your bags and step into that country, you must go in with a knowledge that you are an ambassador. You must go into that nation knowing that even this civilization is below the civilization of your nationality. The Bible says our citizenship is of heaven. Our citizenship is of heaven. That means the moment you came into Christ, they reordered the process. You are not first a Nigerian. Oh. Then you cannot know that what the scripture says, that all things are yours. Yeah, it's because you are from a lineage where nothing is withheld from those who love him. God does not withhold anything from those who love him. I say God does not withhold anything from those who love him. From those who love him. So what I need to do is to pass the test of love, because God will not withhold anything from those who love him. The Bible says love never fails. Love is strong enough. The love of God in the heart of a man can break curses. Give me that scripture. It says, and when he had disarmed rulers and authority, and he said, those supernatural forces of evil operating against us, he made a public example. Where did he do it? In the realm of the spirit. He dragged them out. The way Jesus was given a cross and he had to walk on the streets of Israel in shame, in the realm of the spirit, Jesus did the same thing. He dragged them out. Come on, say, drag them out. He disarmed them. It was one man against so many. He disarmed them. He disarmed them. And he made a public example, exhibiting them as captives. They became his captives. Those demons of depression, they became his captives. Those spirits of failure, they became his captives. Those spirits those spirits that are telling you will not be mine, you will not be happy, you will not be fulfilled, you will never have a lasting breakthrough. Jesus embarrassed them and he dragged them. And when they try to resist, he would drag them again. And none could resist him. None could resist him. He said he exhibited them as captives in his triumphant procession, having triumphed over them through his cross, through his sacrifice. They thought that when they killed him, they got rid of him. They didn't know the cross was the joker. They didn't know. The next time they tell you that you are owing in the spirit realm, tell them Jesus paid. Tell them Jesus paid. Because payment in the spirit realm is made by blood. I want to declare I'm free. I want you to declare I'm free. Now in the spirit realm we transact by faith. I want you to declare with faith I'm free. Our Lord Jesus teaches us and he says, whosoever we make free is free indeed. There's a difference between making free and setting free. When you set free, you can set somebody free in his current status. But when you are made free, you are made. You are born. You don't know what it means to be bound. You are made. It's just like saying made in China, made in Turkey. You are made that way. You are made free. That means it is no more in your constitution to be bound. That if anybody tries to apply a lower Windows operating system, it will not stick. Because you are 11. This is 7. It will not stick. Because you are made this way. I don't know how not to be free. I don't know how not to be free. I don't know how not to succeed. I don't know how not to be prophetic. I don't know how not to break through. I don't know how I can be limited. It's not because of me. Because I am made this way. I made this way. Don't submit to the lower life. Oh, I said, don't submit to the lower life. Eternal life is at work in you. I said, eternal life is at work in you. It triumphed over them. It triumphed over them. And when Jesus rose, the way to effect what he has done in the spirit realm was by giving us his life. Say, live my kind of life. Follow my footsteps. Believe as I believe. He said, if you believe as I believe, you will do the works that I do. That means in your own generation, you will also lead these principalities and power wherever they show up. You will lead them and you will disgrace them openly. Do you know that even the laugh of a spiritual champion is dangerous? Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. There is a knowledge that you have and you know. It takes away fear from you. It takes away fear from you. The things that are happening around you are not inside of you. They are just happening around you. And you can live a victorious life. We must learn this life. We must master it. We must master it.